No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Take. All right, I got Johnny Mack in the green room. Love it. Let's get to Johnny Mack and see what he thinks of what happened here in day 2 of the NFL draft. Joined now by John McMullen, the number one Eagles beat reporter in town. Give him a follow on X at JF McMullen. Johnny Mack, welcome to the show, man. A long day, and we walk with one player, Johnny Mack. What do you think?
Yeah, I that's the Eagles' sort of philosophy, and had an opportunity to add even more picks when just got done talking to Howie, and it's pretty clear there was a certain player they wanted sort of late in the third round when they weren't able to get him. Don't know who that player is yet. Got to do more reporting. Everybody's tired now. Everybody is
It wasn't Charles Grant,
out,
was it, John? Do you think it was Charles Grant?
You know what? I don't know at this point. And I'm going to try to do more reporting on that. I'll probably have more information on that tomorrow. Okay. But what Howie did say is that, there was an opportunity to move up. So, right off the bat, I don't think it was Charles Grant, but I'm not 100% on that. And once that didn't sort of weren't able to accomplish that, the thought process changed. And there was sort of a group, as I always explain, the next group was a little bit down on their charts and their grades. And they felt it was a better decision to move down and then move down again and build up more, which could mean moving up tomorrow. They got an extra 2026 pick as well, so they're up to 12 or 13 picks next year.
They're stocking up, Johnny Mack.
Yeah, and that's obviously they're not going to take all those picks, and they're gonna move around the board. But that's just business as usual for the Eagles. If they don't think they don't want to reach for a player at any position, whether it's the third round, fourth round, fifth round, forget about first or second. So. That's sort of how that went envisioned. And we did learn a little bit more. I thought it was interesting because there were bigger name safeties probably on the board that a lot of Eagles fans were looking at. Xavier Watts, one of them. Howie spoke about space and this game changing. And he did it a little bit yesterday with Jahad Campbell as well. And that's what the Eagles want. So they want these explosive sort of space-eating players, whereas you think about Xavier Watts, more of an old traditional cover two safety, good center fielder, and that's not really the type of player the Eagles want. And we'll see if they're right because there's some size concerns. But one thing about Andrew is, he's very physical for his size. He goes downhill. He will take on hits despite that lack of size, and we'll see if he can stay healthy. But he's very fast, he's very explosive, and that's why the Eagles prefer him over maybe some of the more high profile safeties that people saw. And it matches up with their overall philosophy when we talk about guys like all the way at the top of the draft. When we talk about Walter Nolan and Shamar Stewart and players like that, why do we talk about them? Because they're fast and they're explosive and they're athletic. And that's what they're looking for and that's what they want. And Howie also said, what's interesting to me, there's no such thing as a box safety anymore. You got to be able to cover. So that's sort of what the Eagles are looking for.
Yeah, John, the reason I brought up Charles Grant, we'll talk a little bit about Makuba again there, is, they traded out, John, from 96 to 101. And I'm like, all right, they got an extra pick next year. Not a bad pick if you think your guy's not going to be there. And then the players taken, 96 was Xavier Watts, who I don't think they needed. Obviously, they had already took Makuba. Jalen Smith, the cornerback from USC. Caleb Rogers, the guard from Texas Tech. And then once Charles Grant went at 99, who, again, I thought they would like that player just because he felt Eaglesy to me and he's a tackle. I thought Stoughton would love him. Once he went, they traded back out. So that's where I got Charles Grant from. But, back to Makuba, John, the one question I'd have there is, you don't think they were waiting for Trey Amos, do you, who went right before him there to Washington? They were looking for a defensive back coming into the day. Trey Amos was a guy who I thought was going to go at the top of the second round. He slipped down to the end of the second round, went to Washington, and then it kind of felt like, the Eagles took Makuba there. Now, maybe it's completely separate, and Makuba was always the guy they wanted, but I don't know. Makuba kind of came, I kind of felt like you reached for him a little bit there, and a lot of differing opinions on Makuba I've seen since they made that pick.
Yeah, I think, and Howie explained it pretty well, and about the space eating type player versus, again, when you talk about players who are more traditional safeties like Xavier Watts, who is a player I liked and is a playmaker, and I think about how do you replace CJ Gardner-Johnson? Why not get the guy who turns it over more than anybody else in college football? But he's not as athletic, he's not the space eater. So they're looking for a different style of player, which is sort of the favorite flavor thing he always talks about. One thing I'm concerned about is, look, again, you have two players through 2 days and they're both tremendously undersized for what the Eagles are going to be asking them to do. And at what point does that show up or doesn't it show up? Right. Maybe they're ahead of the curve.
John, you're an odds guy. You know how that goes.
Yeah, exactly. And at some point, I said maybe you want to bring in a Nick Scorton on it just to get some size on the defensive front, on the edge. They're not looking at it that way. And it looks like the same thing in the defensive backfield when there are players, but. Again, for fans, they get really caught up in what players did in college. I mean, look at it from a national perspective of Shedeur Sanders. Look, from the standpoint, how can he drop? How can he drop? How can he drop? Well, he's not dropping. This is what the NFL thinks of him.
Even at this point, John, after round one, I can understand that. But round three now? Milroe and Gabriel off the board. You don't think he's dropping?
No. Well, I think people don't understand the philosophy. He's dropping in the eyes of fans and reporters and media people and draft nicks. He's not dropping in the eyes of NFL people is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, I got you.
In the quarterback part of it, it's a matter. And we've talked about this on Birds 365 a lot. When you have not a highly thought of group as a whole, it becomes, all right, what individual teams need quarterbacks, number one. And generally, from a league perspective, every year there's 25-plus teams that need positional players,
right?
Depending on the position. In other words, 25 of the 32 will need defensive tackles or defensive ends or linebackers or cornerbacks or safeties. or tackles or guards, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There are certain positions where, in quarterback being one of them, there's only a finite group who need quarterbacks or are looking for quarterbacks, and it's much smaller, number one. It's a position that doesn't have a lot of numbers. Like, you need 8 to 10 defensive linemen. You need, you know, so you don't have numbers. You have three quarterbacks. You don't have numbers. And you're looking at eight teams. And those eight teams, you know, some might like Jalen Milroe. Some might like Shedeur Sanders. Some might like Dylan Gabriel. Yeah, you know, right. I like Dylan Gabriel. I've said it all the time. Of the guys of the guys who can play the position, he's number one. He's got some size traits. But look at the team he went to. It's with a coach who is an expertise at quarterback play, and he wants that sort of, this guy knows what he's doing. So it's the mentality of, you know, and by the way, this is me too. We don't have the information they have. So when guys fall, like, why did Will Johnson fall? Well, he fell because of medical information that I had no access to.
Right.
Why did Jahad Campbell fall? Medical information I had no access to until the very end of the process when people kind of leaked it out.
Yeah, and you're very open about that. That's some of the stuff that teams keep private, obviously, and you guys can't get that information.
Exactly. So I think there's a disconnect of, and there are some great draft people, and I talk about them all the time, Daniel Jeremiah, Dane Brugler. These are the guys I rely on, the guys we have locally, Devin Jackson, tremendous job. I have tons of respect for him. My buddy Andrew DeCheco's awesome on the draft. Ian Cummings is one of the best young draft analysts, I think, in the country. You know, these are the guys I rely on. Rick Saratella, phenomenal. All these people, you know, but they're not NFL teams. As good as they are.
Yeah, right. You can only get so much. You can only get so much.
Exactly. So when people say he's falling, yeah, he's falling in our eyes. He's not falling. Yeah, if an NFL team wanted him, they take him.
Yeah, right.
By definition. And eventually he'll go tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, you brought up Daniel Jeremiah. I will say he was by late in that third round, he was saying, though, okay, this is too far for Shedeur. I would take him here. I would take him here. I would take him here. So
I'm saying. And in Daniel's mind, you know, he should be gone. In my mind. I didn't think he would fall to day three. But I had a pretty good feeling he was going to fall to day two. I didn't think he'd fall to day three. But when you see teams taking Dylan Gabriel, taking Jalen Milroe, that's a clear indication that those particular teams were not very high on Shedeur Sanders. And by the way, we're here. I'm at the NovaCare Complex outside speaking to you right now. Maybe this team.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Like Shedeur Sanders. But they don't need a quarterback.
Yeah, right.
They don't need a quarterback.
Right, so it's everything has to align.
And by the way, there's a bunch of teams that need quarterbacks and try to pretend they don't need quarterbacks and don't want quarterbacks because they're trying to, you know, bolster up young players or guys who, you know, trying to develop and not trying to upset that development. It's a very strange position. But if somebody likes you, they're going to take you. And the fact that nobody's taking them tells you all you need to know. And all these conspiracy theories, like, these people would sell their souls to win football games. They're not trying to send messages to Shedeur Sanders. Like, nobody cares. Can you help me win? Can you help me keep my job? Is basically the litmus test.
Johnny Mac, what are your thoughts on what the Eagles have done so far, man? They picked up Jahad Campbell last night, and they got Makuba today. They traded a bunch tonight in that third round, and then ultimately moved out. And now they got a boatload of picks tomorrow. They added to the workload tomorrow for us, Johnny Mac. So we'll be doing a bunch of hits tomorrow with the Eagles. But your thoughts on what they've done so far? I will tell you, there's a sense of I don't want to say like the balloon is popped, but you know, there's, you know, people are feeling, I think, a little bit underwhelmed. I can't speak for everybody, but here in the chat room, maybe me a little bit personally, what do you think of what the Eagles have done so far?
Well, people like volume, and they haven't gotten volume. So, and they were supposed to get two picks today and they only got one pick. So, you know, generally the human nature part of it, you want that immediate gratification. You know, I don't expect them to take all their picks tomorrow, you know, generally, and how we kind of intimated, you know, they'll go to sleep tonight thinking about the board, and there's going to be probably somebody in the fourth round they want to go up and get at the top of the fourth round, very similar to what they did a couple years ago with Kaylee Ringo. It wouldn't surprise me if they did that tomorrow. Kind of happens when you reset the board. But, you know, the Eagles tried to move up. He admitted that in the third round. And that's why I don't think it was Charles Grant, because they moved back. Right, and then right. Charles Grant won. They could have had him. They could have just stayed if they wanted him.
Right, right. 96, so, exactly.
So I don't think it was him. But they did have somebody that they wanted, and they were trying to move up, and they couldn't move up. As I try to explain to everybody, it takes two to tango. You can't just snap your fingers and say, all right, I'm moving up. Indication of that yesterday. They started trying to move up at 22 for Jahad Campbell. At 22. And they were lucky enough that he fell to 31, and they only had to move up one spot. But they tried to, I know for a fact, they tried to move up with the Chargers at 22. They tried to move up to 23. I forget who was there. I don't know for a fact. I know they tried to move up to 22 and 23. I assume they tried to move up to 24 because that was Minnesota.
23 was the Packers, right? Yeah, 23 was the Packers. That's where they took Matthew Golden.
Yeah, Packers, yes. They were definitely trying to move up. But, you know, if the other team isn't willing, and – Tim McManus asked Howie yesterday, which I thought was an interesting question. You know, are other GMs starting to basically fear dealing with you? And Howie said he didn't get that sense, but I think there's something to that.
I do too. I think it's starting to become a thing.
Yeah, he's got this big reputation, and and certainly younger GMs are probably going to be a little bit more cautious trying to deal with him. But he indicates he doesn't get that feeling. But he did admit he tried. They wanted to move up. They couldn't. And there wasn't a player that they were in love with. And that's when they start to move down. And they were able to do that twice and gain more picks. And again, I don't expect them to stand pat or not move up tomorrow and just take all those picks. And certainly they're not going to take, whether it ends up being 12 or 13, they're not going to take all those picks next year. So there's going to be more moving and shaking. They're going to get more volume tomorrow, and volume makes people happy. Getting good players makes me happy.
Yeah, I'm with you.
If they got two players, you know, we'll see. But they think they got two very athletic, very explosive, very space-oriented people, and that's what Vic Fangio wants, and that's what they want.
You think Andrew McCuba was a good pick from your estimation, your opinion, Johnny Mac?
I don't know how he holds up, but, you know, he's a rookie. He's 22 years old. You know,
yeah. I know you can't grade the player, but what we can grade is like value and stuff like that, like with who was on the board, you know, stuff like that. But we can't grade, obviously, the player. He's never played it down. He doesn't even have his helmet yet.
Yeah, he's definitely got to get bigger. You know, he plays in a physical fashion, and I think people will be excited by that. But that's sort of the concern. Like, if you play as physical as he does at the college level, and you'll see some highlights of that, going downhill, taking on runners. You know, if you play that physical at this level with his size, you're probably going to get hurt. But again, you know, he's got to get in a weight room and an NFL strength program. He's got to get bigger. He's got to get more physical so he continue to play that way. But from an athletic standpoint, and that's obviously number one on the Eagles list these days, he's definitely more athletic than Xavier Watts. He's definitely more athletic than the kid from Penn State. So, you know, it sort of depends on how you look at it. But I do have some concerns about size with both of these players for the way they're going to use. And again, they're not going to use Campbell as a middle linebacker. They're going to use him mainly as an edge rusher, and he's undersized for that role. And obviously, Andrew's undersized as well for a safety. So does that matter as much in the modern NFL? Probably not. It does it at some point when you have undersized people all over the place. And that's the case up front with Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt and Azeez Ojulari. Does it become a problem? We're going to find out.
Yeah. No doubt about it. John, one question on each of those players, and I'll let you run, brother. Appreciate the work tonight. Well done by you. On Jihad Campbell, we'll start with him, and then I got a question on McCuba as well, as it pertains to what Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni had to say about him. But on Jihad Campbell, I will say, John, you talked about this right away, that you thought there was going to be a lot of, you know, perhaps misinformation going around, or at least a misunderstanding of the player. But here's where I would push back, or at least, you know, say that there's merit to some of the other talking points. He was legitimately one of the best off-ball linebackers in college football last year. Now, I'm not saying they're going to use him that way, but you did just draft a player that was that good at that position. There is a line of thinking that exists out there amongst other people, you know, other analysts that I saw today, like they're going to use this guy as an off-ball linebacker. Maybe he'll become an edge at some point, but year one, no way he's going to play more off-ball linebacker. What would you say to that?
I would say that I've been talking to Howie Roseman. You know, it doesn't matter. And I saw Emmanuel Acho for saying, and I answered one of his tweets. It doesn't matter. Look, most people graded him as an off-ball linebacker.
Right.
And most people think he's an off-ball linebacker. The only one that matters is Howie Roseman. Now, I thought the same thing, but I don't matter either. I thought he was an edge rusher when I saw him. I said, I don't think he's a linebacker. I think he's an edge rusher. But that doesn't matter either. Just happens that Howie agrees with my sentiment, and that's the only guy who matters. Now, I'd say
Vic too.
Well, and I'm about to get to Vic. Now, yeah. Vic has proven in the past, and he did it last year with two players. I think we always talk about Zach Bond, but he also did it with Cooper DeJean. Ultimately, when the players get into the coach's hands, and particularly with Vic, he's going to use them how he sees fit. And that can differ from the scouting staff and Howie. And it did with Cooper, and it did with Zach Bond. Now, this year, see, the difference is he's got more of an imprint on what's going on. Now, Vic, you know, came in the process, is already well along. You know, Howie thought that Zach Bond was, you know, he was trying to get him as Andrew Van Ginkle. This is Vic's. All right, I want this guy to be Andrew Van Ginkle. So, again, I'm not angry at any of those people. They all think he's a middle linebacker because that's how they evaluate him. I'm telling them and you and everybody else who thinks that way, that's not how the Eagles evaluate him. And that's all that matters. Now, if they try him out at edge rusher and he fails, and that's why Howie said, you know, I don't want to pigeonhole him because can be anything, you know, but if he fails, they might have to move him back to linebacker and say, well, can he be a linebacker?
Yeah, right.
So I'm not saying it'll never happen.
That's like their safety net.
Yeah, I'm saying the plan is that they, you know, I forget who did it, and I want to give him credit. I think it was McLean who said, you know, Howie Roseman, I think, because you have, and I said this was going to happen, and everybody's going to bring up Jerry Robinson, and this hasn't happened in since 1979. Well, guess what? It hasn't happened in 19, and it hasn't happened again, because he doesn't have Bill Berge top 10 on his board. He doesn't have Jeremiah Trotter Sr.'s top 10 on his board. And I bring these guys up as great off-ball linebackers. What he does have as top 10 on his boards is meaningful edge rushers. And that's what they think this guy's going to become. Could they be wrong? Of course.
Yeah. Well, they certainly could, or else all the other teams would have drafted him before 31 if they thought he was going to be that good. So the Eagles are obviously not, you know, not everybody thinks like that, but we will see if they're right. John, now on last question here on Andrew Mukuba.
Well, real quick, that the fall had to do with his injury.
Okay.
He would have been 10 to 15, somewhere in that range. However, the team's taking him at 10 to 15. Yes, I think the vast majority would have taken him as a linebacker. So I do think the Eagles are unique in their evaluation of the player. But the fall to 31 had more to do with the shoulder than his. Because most people had him as a top 20 player minimum, just from a pure football standpoint. So that, John, the fall was injury related.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Thanks for clarifying that. John, on Andrew Mukuba, last one. Appreciate the work today, Johnny Mac. Long days for you, brother. A lot of streaming. Driving on the air for 18 hours in the last 2 days. I got to get out of here, man. I'm delusional up here. But Andrew Mukuba, John, can you shed some light on what should fans expect from him going into year one? Like, should they expect a potential starting safety? Should they expect a nickel guy? Should they expect a guy that's going to play the Isaiah Rodgers role? Did Howie shed any light on that? Like, what should fans expect from the second round draft pick going into training camp and the season. And obviously it can change as you start to, you know, go into practice and earn your job and stuff.
Well, I certainly a big emphatic no on Isaiah Rodgers. He's not going to be a corner, an outside corner. I think he's going to be a backup slot player and a backup safety to start, and, you know, maybe get a year in that weight room and maybe get stronger and maybe get, you know, more filled out, and maybe he develops into a potential starting safety down the road. But I think that'll take a while. So I would say more of Avante Maddox of backing up, you know, three different positions and maybe being the dime back to start.
Again, I know you know this, John, but that's not going to make people happy. Avante Maddox backing up every position.
Well, I don't, you know, he's the 64th pick in the draft. I mean, if every you know, day one starter. Again, I would hitch my wagon, you know, maybe focus more on Sidney Brown, you know, because if Andrew is, you know, being a starting safety for the Philadelphia Eagles in 2025, it's probably not a good thing. Probably means other guys failed. Other guys haven't developed. And then, you know, again, look at Nolan Smith. He barely played as a rookie.
Yeah,
he was the 30th overall pick. You know, what do people expect?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you where I think it got skewed is they lost all these dudes on defense, and everybody came into the draft thinking you were rebuilding it in the first couple of rounds with the three picks you had. They only took two of them, and now one of the ones that they took, we're thinking he might not even be a starter. And I think, again, what you're speaking is logic. I think with fans and myself included, there's a little bit of an emotional element where you're like, well, I thought we were getting a starter in round two to replace the dudes that we let walk out the building. And I think that's probably where the difference lies.
Well, I mean, it's hard to replace, Darius Slay and CJ. And I said from the start that's going to be unlikely from a production standpoint. But you did need to repopulate. You do need, you know, for the chuckling about Avante Maddox, look, he's a good backup player. Isaiah Rodgers is a good backup player. You know, that's why they've been looking at corners and safeties. And, you know, they got a bunch of draft picks tomorrow. They're going to continue to repopulate the secondary. But again, when you start getting to day three and even 64th overall, look, if you get a guy at 64th overall that could back up a bunch of positions and a somewhat effective level, that's a pretty good draft pick.
Well, if there was no starters available for the positions that you're talking about, then yes, it was. But if you passed on starters, you know, to take that guy, maybe not. Remember, Kevin Winston was there. Xavier Watts was there. There was a couple other positions there. So I think people naturally will compare what those players are.
What makes people believe Xavier Watts, and I like Xavier Watts a lot, what makes people think Xavier Watts is a no doubt about it day one starter?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I don't think so either. I'm just saying that people will, you know, make those comps if those guys do become that.
Well, if those guys do become that, they'll probably be on bad teams and there'll be some growing pains, you know, probably. Otherwise they'd be higher draft picks than they were. You know, a lot of people were, and I was one of them. I said, well, you know, 64, this makes sense for Watts. And I forget where he went, but it was like they had a shot at him, I think, at 96. You know, he didn't go at 64. He didn't go at 65. He didn't go at 66. When I looked at that pick, I started and I said, you know, Alexander was the next pick. I said, well, maybe that guy could have helped the Eagles.
Yeah.
A couple picks after that was Harold Fannin Jr. Well, maybe.
By the way, John, Alexander went to the Giants. Another player for that defensive line.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a better defensive line. But I think they
got to face the Eagles O-line every year, twice a year.
Well, yeah, that that helps the Eagles. But nobody's better than the Eagles' offensive line. But the Giants do have a very good defensive line. You know, I thought, my immediate thought was, well, I think Alexander could have helped the Eagles probably more. I thought Harold Fanning could have helped the Eagles maybe more, you know, if they're moving on from Dallas Goedert. So I wasn't as hyper-focused on, especially when you saw where Watts went. You know, I think that speaks to, hey, maybe the Eagles had that one right. Maybe not, but maybe they had that one right.
John, as they say, we'll see what happens. Johnny Mack, great work, man. You're working hard. We appreciate it here on Jacob Sports. All the great listeners appreciate it as well. Thank you so much, brother. Get home safely, and we'll do it all again tomorrow, Johnny Mack. Thank you, brother.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
All right, there's Johnny Mack, John McMullen, the number one Eagles beat reporter in town. Give him a follow at JF McMullen over on X, the best in the business. Appreciate Johnny Mack tonight. A lot of fun tonight. This is a five-hour stream. A five-hour stream for the draft tonight. I did five here. We did two this morning on two hours 45 on birds. This morning, that's eight, and we did an hour with Silly. That's nine today, and we did 10-plus yesterday. So a lot of streaming. A lot of streaming, people. And I'm having a lot of fun. We appreciate all of you guys for checking in. I'm going to kick it around just for a couple more minutes because I have some production to do, and I got to do it on the air. If I end the video, then I can't pull it as quick. All sorts of shit comes into it. So what do you guys think of what Johnny Mack just said? All right. I think it's early. We don't know what these guys are going to be. These guys could be the two best players on the freaking, you know, in the rookie class next year, and we could all laugh at this day. So, remember when we doubted the picks? That could happen. The other thing that could happen is Jahad Campbell can't rush the passer, and he's not even that good of a linebacker. And Andrew Mukuba is so damn small, he can't tackle the 5'8" running back that got drafted tonight. All right, that's a possibility too. So, a lot of different ways they can go. I am interested, though, what do you guys think of where we are? Where are you as an Eagles fan through 2 days of the NFL draft? You got Jahad Campbell and you have Andrew Mukuba. All right. What do you think? What do you think, everybody? What do you think at this point? All right. Fleming, I'm not going down that road right now. I'm too delusional to get into that. Ishan says John blows. Ishan, you blow. Shut up. I love John. Six picks tomorrow is wild and none in the seventh. Yeah, they added like four today. You are a warrior, Z. No, I'm not, Chuck. Listen, Chuck, I appreciate it. We're talking football here, man. We ain't moving bridges. We ain't moving mountains. We ain't, doing all sorts of things that the great people in this nation do to keep it running. At the end of the day, this is inconsequential, okay? And we're having some fun. We're building a great business here on Jacob. We're building a great community of people. And Chuck, the Chuckster, I couldn't do it without you, brother. I appreciate it, all right? All right, I thank you so much. Xander, I'm surprised Sawyer is still on the board. I never liked him, Kyle. Sorry. D. Hughes, can't be mad at the Xander. We have no choice but to trust Howie. Yeah, D. Hughes. D. Hughes. Hear me out for a second, D. Hughes. You can take that philosophy, and then you can take the shows that I do and throw them in the damn trash can. Because why would we even talk about it if all we do is trust Mr. Roseman? Oh, just trust Howie. Let's just watch the games on Sunday. You're defeating the purpose, D. Hughes. I love you, though, brother. I appreciate you. No tight end with Goddard in question. I'm guessing you're red, Xander. I don't know what that means. Big Z, what's your take on the Ravens draft? I think it was pretty damn good. I'd have to go back and look at everybody they took, but I know they took a couple good defensive guys. They took Malachi Starks. They took who's the guy they took today? They took Malachi, and then they took – who'd they take? Let me look at who the Ravens took. Can you help me out? Somebody help me out. Who the Ravens took? There he is. There he is. The greatest of big sales. Oh, Mike Green. That's right. Yeah, that dude. That dude's going to be a player. I know he's got the issues, but That dude's going to be a flat out player. Big Sills, good to see you in here, brother. I know you miss me, Sills. I know you love me and you miss me, brother. All right. I know it. You're lucky I didn't call your ass in tonight after they decided to move out their picks. We ended up with Makuba and Campbell through day twos, through 2 days. Now we're going to get a bunch of dudes, you know, like a Kayvon Wallace, a Johnny Wilson, and an Anais Smith tomorrow. A Dylan McMahon tomorrow. Struggle bus. Struggle bus. I'm guessing you're, oh, you mean Republican? Yeah, I don't, yeah. I'm not really going to get into politics, but absolutely. I'm definitely a conservative person. Definitely. All right, let me get to some super chats before we get out of here. Jaden Blue next. Josh Salter checks in. Maybe. He was a top 30 guy. I kind of like it, but we'll see. We'll see. You sent that twice. I appreciate that, Josh. We'll see what they do. Dave Gates checks in, man. What's up, Dave? I appreciate you, brother. I actually used your question tonight with Johnny Mack. Hey, Z, don't love the pick tonight. Think we wanted Amos and Washington. Grabbed them, so we reached a bit. We need pass rushers and a tight end. I'm with you, Dave. I'm not so out on the Makuba pick that I'm going to sit here and say I don't like the pick. But if you want me to, like, get excited about the pick, I'm not really there yet either, okay? I don't really know. The guy's 5'11 and 186, and we want him to be a, you know, a backup everywhere in the second round. Let's see what it is, Dave. Let's see what it is. Dave, again, says Mike Green and Malachi Starks, the Ravens is brutal. Yeah, good haul for them. Good haul. Absolutely good haul. Celia, Marshalls. Dog, Marshalls. What do you mean, Marshalls? What, did you hit the lottery before you went out on a Saturday? Marshalls is rich, Sills. Marshalls is rich, big dog. You're at that Dollar General, Sills. You're at the Family Dollar to put on for the family. What are you talking about, Marshalls? That's for the rich folks, Marshalls. Yeah, that's for the Ravens and the Commanders. We over there at them thrift store Dollar General. All right? The flea market, exactly. Oh, man, that's funny. Zan, do you think the Eagles would draft Shedeur Sanders? I don't know. I would do it, but I ain't running the show. So I freaking like that kid, man. The more he falls, the more.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. So just like you, he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.